When you live an ungrateful life, it's like putting chains on the power of God in your life. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you. But without being thankful, you stifle that power. Let's unleash the power of God by being grateful for things from our past, present, and future. Hi, I'm Vince Smith, the gathering pastor at Calvary Penns Valley, and we're going to dive into some gratefulness conversation today. Gratitude is defined as the quality of being thankful. It's a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. See, this verse implies that not choosing joy, not praying, not being thankful will stifle the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I was recently going through some files in my office, and I came across this letter from a woman who has since passed away, but she took the time to express her gratefulness. I'd like to just read it to you because her gratitude encouraged me, it encouraged us as a body at Penns Valley, and it helped me remember so many more things that God has done that I have to be thankful for. She says, "I've been wandering in Happy Valley alone with no friends, disenfranchised family, or faith support." She said, "My life was a mess, severe financial situation, constant pain, and a depression that became suicidal sometimes. Then came Calvary, Calvary Penns Valley, that is, a congregation whose mission was to flood Happy Valley with the love of Christ, along with service in our community and an example of walking the talk. Since attending Calvary Penns Valley, I've been blessed with growth in my personal faith walk, brothers and sisters in Christ who love me just the way that I am, a working plan to ease the financial strain, a decrease in the depressive thoughts, and the knowledge to grow in Christ. These things may not be earth-shattering to anyone else, but in my life, Calvary Penns Valley has hit its mark in its mission of service and the spreading of the love of God." And she says, "With much gratitude, Grandma Kate." I love the fact that she took the time to express her gratefulness because it encouraged myself and so many others. And one way that we can be grateful is to look back, to remember the past, thanking God for it, and then unleashing that power of the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." Gratitude just doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from how we choose to see the world. And according to the Bible, every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. I want to take a peek at one person who had an attitude of gratitude and how Jesus responded, and see if we can just learn something from this mentor in Luke chapter 17. Verse 11, it says, "As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' He looked at them and he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, 'Praise God!' He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, and Jesus asked, 'Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And Jesus said to the man, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you.'" See, in this encounter with Jesus, exactly 10% of the people express gratitude. We need to choose to be that 10%. So often it's difficult for us to just have the humility to show gratitude. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for that's God's will for us that belong to Christ. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. See, always doesn't come with an always when things are going your way or be thankful when things are going as you expected. No, it's God's will for you to give thanks in all circumstances. And it may be hard to be thankful for things in the moment. And that's when it's helpful sometimes to just look to the past and to remember. You know, you've been around unthankful people, I'm sure. And it's like putting chains on the power of God in their life when we're unthankful. See, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available in your life But without being thankful, you stifle the power, the Bible tells us. See, the devil is going to do his absolute best to keep your mind off the blessings of God, to stifle the Holy Spirit. He will constantly tell you how bad you have it or how everything is wrong in your life. He'll have you comparing yourself to all the wrong people. He's going to try again to stifle you. It's when you begin to realize just how much you have in the Lord that you're going to truly begin to be thankful. And when you're thankful, your heart's going to abound with the love for the Lord, for what the Lord has so graciously given to you. An unthankful Christian is a defeated Christian. You know, a bunch of years ago when our adult children were younger, we were struggling with gratefulness at our house. So my wife decided to create a grateful notebook. Every evening at dinner time, we would sit down to eat together, and we all had to reflect on the day and say one thing that we were thankful for. You know, it changed our mindset at that dinner time. And often we were thankful for something that someone had said around the table, had done for us around the table. It gave us a new perspective. I started to realize that my actions impacted my children and vice versa. And we began to be encouraged around our dinner table. A month or so ago, my wife pulled that journal back out almost 15 years later, and we read over some of the things that we had written so many years ago. Looking back and remembering what we were thankful then refreshed us that day. It encouraged us. We recently picked up that practice again at our table for our now younger children again. It changes perspective. See, we were deliberately choosing an attitude of gratitude. And you and I, we have a choice. Being grateful transforms our minds. It's that transforming by the renewing of our minds. And it's an action. It's something that we can make a habit. You know, for older children and adults, one simple way that we can cultivate gratitude is to literally just count our blessings, to keep a journal and regularly record whatever you're grateful for that day. We're going to give you about 90 seconds in just a few seconds here to do that. And I want to ask you to just be very specific, to look for things to be grateful for from your past. And as you do, I think you're going to start to see them everywhere. You can learn from the leper. Gratitude should never be silent, because unexpressed gratitude is ingratitude. For example, your wife creates a great meal and a great event, and you don't say thank you. In your heart, you're really appreciative for the effort, but you don't say anything. Unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. Learning to express gratitude opens up room for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in you and in that relationship. So we're going to give you a gratitude challenge. We're going to give you about 60 seconds to just count your blessings from the past. Blessings from God, blessings from others, but just make a list. And remember, we all have people in our lives that could use a little bit of encouragement. And we often just have the intention of letting our appreciation known, but we rarely take the time to prioritize letting other people know how thankful we are for them. So we need a challenge. I'm going to ask you to make that list. Write down, at the end of that list, then write down the name of one person that you're going to express gratitude to today. Then figure out how you're going to communicate with them, and then do it. And let's be reminded, unexpressed gratitude is no gratitude at all.
When everything seems out of control, we turn to the one who is in total control. To live with a heart filled with thanksgiving requires total surrender and a desperate dependence on our sovereign creator and sustainer. Hi, I'm Bill Ewing, gathering pastor of Calvary Tyrone, where I've had the pleasure of serving and loving on the people of Tyrone for the past 3 years.
I'm Sarah, Bill's wife. We're both from Tyrone originally, so loving on the people there comes naturally to us.
I want to share a scripture of thanksgiving and gratitude that maybe most people wouldn't say kind of relates to those areas, but it's from Mark 12, 41 through 44. And the basis is Jesus and his disciples are there at the temple, and they're witnessing people coming and bringing their offering. And so they see some of the religious leaders, and Jesus' eye catches this widow who comes and just drops a few coins in, something probably not very substantial. But the thing that really amazes me about this and why I think it's a scripture of thanksgiving is she went all in with all of her heart and her treasure. She's living a life fully surrendered and desperately dependent upon God that naturally lends to living a life of gratitude and selflessness. See, Jesus is your sustainer and provider. Nothing or nobody else will do. I believe this life of gratitude comes from knowing that just as Jesus truly saw and valued the widow, he also sees each of us and he loves each of us. What we have to offer is valuable no matter what the world says. It really is not the offering that he is concerned with, but a heart of thanksgiving, love, worship, and selflessness. A heart that is fixed on the kingdom and not on the circumstances of this world. A life that is built on the solid rock foundation of who God is and not on the unstable tossing waves of emotions and selfishness.
So for me, along a lot of those same lines, one of the verses that I think of on the topic of being thankful is to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, from 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. This verse personally speaks to me about being thankful in all circumstances, the good, the bad, and the ugly. There was a time in my life that I was really angry at God. My dad had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, my brother with MS. I had an estranged relationship with another brother. My nephew was running away and using drugs and ultimately ended up in him passing away from a drug overdose. And I was very angry and hurt. And I spent a lot of time writing a letter to God about why I was angry, because I know he can handle my emotions, and I didn't know what else to do with them. It was several typed pages of all the things that I was angry about, and I stewed on that for about a week. But then later I went back, and I rewrote the letter, adding all the things that I could see that God had been doing during that really dark time, places where he had been there for us and provided for us, and relationships that he was mending in ways I didn't even see at the time. So those verses really remind me that, you know, God is there no matter what the circumstances and to be thankful in all of them.
So something that I'm thankful for in the current Calvary movement wide is the Church Without Walls, CWOW, and Front Yard Missions, FYM. You know, this is to me what being at the church is all about and what being a Jesus apprentice is all about. You see, being a Jesus apprentice is a lifestyle. It's 24/7, not just another task. And there's not a time where one ceases to be a Jesus apprentice. There's no leaving or forsaking. There's no retirement, no vacation. It's an all-in life of devotion, abundance, blessing, sacrifice, and refinement, because that's how God loves us. It's embracing the awkwardness, valuing discomfort, and seeing opportunities for growth through obedience to the one who paid it all.
I'm thankful that Calvary seeks to be the church without walls. Because we're from Tyrone, we have a relationship with a lot of other Christians in town and with several other churches. And so I'm really thankful that we can work together with those other churches and bring unity to the church body as a whole. And it's just something that I love to be a part of and love to see happening.
Yeah, specifically for Calvary Tyrone, what we really love and are thankful for is we love serving people in the margins. We're talking about people who are dealing with drug addiction, people dealing with homelessness, people with disabilities and mental health challenges, divorcees, societal outcasts. You know, we're seeing other people's hearts be open to loving, praying, and inviting others. And now God is blessing that faithfulness. And it's very encouraging and exciting. And so we want, we pray for, and we expect more.
Yeah, I too love the heart of the people at Calvary Tyrone. I love that we're not afraid to get messy and get right in there in people's lives, and that we're welcoming to anybody, and that as soon as they walk in the door, they're loved on. And just two examples of things that we do together is we have lunch together every week after the service and invite people in right off the street to eat with us. And Wednesday nights, we have cards and snacks to, and play games together. And, you know, it really helps to develop a relationship with each other and get to know each other on a whole different level.
So for us, I guess the assignment or the question that we have for you is, what is a situation or a life that God is calling you to step into that may be quite messy and make you uncomfortable or apprehensive? And we ask that you pray for God to reveal what is holding you back from going all in. Pray for courage. Pray for the eyes and the heart of Jesus, wisdom, and then commit to taking a step towards what God is calling you to in prayer, surrender, and total dependence on Jesus to guide you. How can you use your life circumstances or what you're going through to help someone else?
The secret recipe of contentment is not a gift that someone is going to wrap up and place under the Christmas tree. However, it's available to all who choose to pursue it. Gratitude teaches us to take our eyes off of the circumstances around us and trains us to fully fix our eyes on King Jesus, the creator of all things, who has chosen us and desires for each of us to live life to the fullest. David Myers, a sociologist at Hope College in Michigan, says this: "We live in McMansions, we drive SUVs, we snap up the latest plasma television sets, travel anywhere relatively cheaply, think and do pretty much what we choose. And yet research indicates that more of us felt happier in the 1940s when a third of the population used outhouses. The reason? By the end of the 1990s, we were excellent at making a living, but too often failing to make a life." Well, hey, Calvary, my name is Sean Moon, and I'm the gathering pastor at Calvary Lewistown, and I'm excited to talk with you briefly about what it looks like to live a life of contentment that, if pursued, will create some momentum in your relationship with God and others as we move forward. Let me pray over our time. God, thanks for your amazing love for us. Thank you for the lessons we've already learned today through Vince and through Bill's teachings. God, would we just allow them to soak into our minds and our hearts? Would you be with us now in these remaining moments together? For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "I'm not telling you this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty." So based on these verses, let's quickly define contentment. And honestly, how is it even possible that Paul could make such a bold statement in these verses? I mean, he's writing this letter from a prison cell. Well, here's why. It's because he knew that contentment lies not in what he has, but instead whose he is. You see, when we come into a relationship with God through Jesus, we understand whose we are and what we have. A lack of contentment causes me to look horizontally at what others have, so therefore, I'm never satisfied. Contentment, however, invites me to look vertically at God. And when I look His way, regardless of my possessions, or regardless of my circumstances or status, I know that He is enough, which translates to gratitude. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "We look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection." You see, gratitude gets me to look vertically and to fix my eyes on Jesus. John Stott wrote this. He says, "Contentment is the secret of inward peace. It remembers the stark truth that we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Life, in fact, is a pilgrimage from one moment of nakedness to another. So we should travel light and live simply." Simplicity says that if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. In fact, in Matthew 6, verse 26, it says, "Consider the birds. Do you think that they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they?" And for the Christ follower, contentment knows that if we have Jesus, we do have enough. So it might be natural now to ask, well, what must I do to be content? And here's where I need to level with you, because this part is going to take some discipline, some intentionality, and hard work. But we must learn how to do this. Doug McKnight could say those words. You see, at the age of 32, he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And over the next 16 years, it would cost him his career, his mobility, and eventually his life. Because of MS, he couldn't feed himself or walk. He battled depression and fear. But through it all, Doug never lost his sense of gratitude. Evidence of this was seen in his prayer list. You see, friends in his congregation asked him to compile a list of requests so they could intercede for him. His response included 18 blessings for which to be grateful for and 6 concerns for which to be prayerful. His blessings outweighed his needs by 3 times. Doug had learned to be content. And you see, this kind of contentment is not natural for us, so we have to be diligent about learning. Our tendency is to look for the quick fix, to look for the things that will make us content, things that are better, rather than putting forth the effort it takes to learn how to be content and to dig into a deeper level of intimacy with Jesus. So what is the secret sauce of contentment? The things that we would rely on to bring us satisfaction don't. We can't depend on contentment to just fall into our laps from our education or our financial successes or status, because contentment comes from a divine source that money and material possessions cannot purchase. The secret of contentment is hidden from the casual observer, so we have to dig in. Contentment isn't pretending that things are right when they're not, but like we learn in Romans 8:28, it displays the peace that comes from knowing that God is bigger than any problems and that He works them all out for our good. Did you hear that? That He works them all out for our good. Contentment isn't a feeling of well-being based on keeping circumstances under control, but instead it promotes a joy in spite of those circumstances, looking to God who never changes. So contentment is not based on external circumstances, but rather on the posture of our heart. Listen to this testimony from someone at Calvary Lewistown who is learning the secret to contentment. They say, "I went all in with Jesus many years ago, and it has shaken my world. I went from being an agnostic to messianic Judaism to deconstruction of what and how I believe in my walk in Jesus' footsteps. It's not the average person's journey," they say, "simply because I want to walk as Jesus said, to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Not an easy task in America today. You see, this is going all in for Jesus. Jesus never said that it was going to be easy for us. And honestly, most people hunger for what the Apostle Paul had, this deep down enduring contentment. That kind of contentment can only come from within, and it only has one source. That source is a soul-satisfying relationship with Jesus, who cares for us and promises to meet us exactly where we are. So here we are post-Thanksgiving, and we're headed straight into Christmas. Do you have a deep desire to be filled with joy? Do you have a deep desire to be filled with hope? You see, Paul tells us in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, he says, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. The secret recipe of contentment is not a gift that someone is going to wrap up and place under the Christmas tree. However, it is available to all who choose to pursue it. Gratitude teaches us to take our eyes off of the circumstances around us and trains us to fully fix our eyes on King Jesus, the creator of all things, who has chosen us and desires for each of us to live life to the fullest. As a church, we're going on a journey together. We're calling it 50 Days of Hope. And you should have received a journal by now. If you haven't, would you simply let us know by emailing info@calvarysc.org right now, and we'll make sure that you get a copy. We encourage you to build on what God has done, what He's currently doing, and what I know He is going to do as we move forward. We invite you to participate in this and allow it to build some momentum for what God is shaping each of us to do. So as we close out this service, and as you listen to this song, I want you to do a self-evaluation of where you are personally. Do you struggle in the area of gratitude and contentment? If so, I encourage you to give it to God right now. He sees you, He hears you, and He wants you to completely surrender your life and to spend time with Him. Like Vince said at the beginning, let's unleash the power of God by being grateful for our things from past, present, and future. Blessings to each of you for an amazing Christmas season.
My words fall short, and I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Ooh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Hey. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.